So some had extra oil for their lamps and some did not. Some leaders were really bothered by this. They were bothered not only because anyone had a lamp, but also because they were waiting at all, lamps or not. So these leaders came in and took all the fuel for the lamps because they said the lamps were dangerous. And in other places, leaders came and tried to push the lamps out. They tried to remove the lamps because they all of a sudden, and after rarely if ever doing it before, needed to do a thorough cleaning of the places the lamps lit. And they also decided to pass rules to make it difficult for anyone who wanted to own, possess, or have any kind of lamp. They made rules that no one could keep their lamps trimmed and burning past a particular hour. In some cases, they came in and violently broke the lamps. But for every obstacle meant to dim, snuff out, or destroy the lamps burned brighter. And more lamps appeared and burned still brighter. The lamps simply couldn't be removed or extinguished. The lamps were, are, and will continue to be trimmed and burning. That's not the version of the parable that's in the Bible, but it's a parable-ish story. Or here's the version that's in the Bible. So some had extra oil in their lamps and others didn't. And some had to go and get more fuel for their lamps. And then they missed the boat because they didn't plan ahead. What about the ones who wouldn't share? Why is this parable in the Bible? Jesus taught the disciples. He lived with and among the people. Jesus performed miracles. But now, Jesus was gone. He died. Many saw him after the resurrection, and many didn't. And then he was gone again. And people expected him to come back soon. Very soon, as in the next few weeks or months at least. And then time passed. More time. And more time. And Jesus didn't come back. So the people started writing down the stories of Jesus. These stories had been preserved through an oral culture of the time, and the oral culture was very, very good, very accurate. And the written stories started to be collected into larger groups of stories. And some of the collections were lost. Others survived. And of the collections that survived and were deemed ultimately to be authentic, those are the four Gospels. Only the book of Matthew contained this parable, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Before I go any further, let me make a comment about the title of the parable. I call it the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And in other translations, anybody have a King James version with you on your phone? Or it's known as the parable of the 10 virgins. And why the difference? Well, yes, translation, but context. The Greek word that's translated as either bridesmaid or virgin is parthenos. And it appears another time in Matthew. Can you guess when? It's right at the beginning of the chapter when it's used to refer to Mary using the quote from Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So we have a little translation issue, actually. The word translated as virgin in Isaiah is the Hebrew word alma. And guess what it means? That means young woman. And parthenos also means young woman, depending on the context. In Isaiah 7:14, the passage is referring to the king's wife, not a virgin. And in today's parable, parthenos is referring to bridesmaids, virgins. But the quote about Mary using Isaiah in the context of Isaiah means young woman. It just does. No matter what we have decided over the years, no matter what theological bend we have put on things, that's what it means. But here's a bigger question to all of that. Why does it matter? Why were and are we so obsessed about the sexual status of anyone other than ourselves or who we choose to partner with? Why do we place importance on defining a person's gender by our own rules? Seriously, sexual status, sexual orientation, gender expression, why do we have this fixation? Why has religion, really, for millennia, been so concerned with whether or not a woman has had sex? That's the virgin birth. We are so concerned with whether or not a woman has had sex. This shaming culture that's created by and perpetuated by religion is unnecessary. It's harmful. It's evil. And if we are part of, by our silence, this culture that shames women, then we do harm and evil. It doesn't matter that it seems to be the way things are or have been, or if generations of people have said this or something like that applies. It is not okay for us to continue down that path. It is necessary for us to stand up, to speak up, and to be a presence that calls out attitudes, behaviors, and policies that seek to control, shame, or marginalize women's or anyone's sexuality. Just take a moment. Let that sit there for a minute, because I was talking about a parable. So here's this parable. Placed in a time where women were not only controlled, but property, that encourages the readers to be alert, because though Jesus was delayed, nobody knew when he was coming, and they still had to be ready. And the setting of the parable was familiar, because in Hebrew custom, weddings went like this. The families of the bride and the groom agreed that there would be a wedding. The groom would fetch the bride for the ceremony and a celebration that lasted for several days. And during that celebration, the bridesmaids would look good, and they would have a chance to be noticed by possible bridegrooms for themselves. The fewer bridesmaids at the wedding, the better the odds would be for them. And that's the background in this parable, too. The part of the parable where the five bridesmaids with enough oil refusing to share with the ones without enough, it plays right into that competition. Of course, in our context, it brings up a different question related to what I said at the beginning of the sermon. Why didn't they pool their resources? How about have two bridesmaids on each lamp? Surely they could see two on one lamp. There would have been more than enough light. And that question is there for us. It really is, as we look at the parable. But it isn't one of the questions that the early church would have asked. That wouldn't enter their mind. Well, maybe it would, but just in general. What they would have asked is this. They would have said, when is Jesus coming back? How long do we have to wait? Because they had been taught and they thought that it was happening imminently. The answer is in the parable. Who knows, but don't get caught unprepared. Don't be caught sleeping or without enough oil in your lamp. Keep your lamp trimmed and burning and let it shine. There's a message in there. Strip away what just doesn't translate well in this parable. Competition for the best husband. Strip away the whole shaming culture that is unacceptable. And you get this huge encouragement to let that light shine now while the waiting continues. And I know it's not easy to do that with all the stuff that I've put out there and all the anger that might come from that, but there is encouragement in here. Let your light shine while you wait. How long does the waiting continue? Who knows? But let it shine. And that other question that I've asked twice today now. One that wasn't part of the context for the early church or anyone that read this or heard this. What about sharing? We could take the wise bridesmaid's example and keep everything we've got for ourselves. And you know what? You could look at this parable and say, that's what we're supposed to do. But it's not what we're supposed to do. Just saying. Or we could instead decide to pool what we do have to make a difference. What would have happened if the bridesmaids had pooled their resources? Wouldn't they all have gone on to the celebration? Wouldn't that have been marvelous? So let it shine. And we can count ourselves blessed that we continue to have opportunities to grow in spirit, in relationships, in numbers. We have continuing opportunities to help meet the needs of the most vulnerable in our communities and in our world. We can count ourselves blessed that we can attend to one another here in our community, everywhere. So let it shine. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning, and be ready to shine. Amen.